It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. It's always a pleasure to welcome one of my great music friends into our studios. He's on tour right now, joining Barry Manilow on stages around the United States and perhaps even the world. We'd like to welcome to D.C. Dave Cause. Dave, great to have you here.
Great to be back, Larry. Thank you very much.
It's been 3 years. You look great. You look younger, in fact.
Really? It must be the lighting in here.
Yeah.
Magic.
You look younger, and I know that music is going great for you, and we're celebrating the CD you just put out. You put out a Christmas album. That's the latest project, isn't
right.
it?
Right. We're celebrating Christmas.
We're celebrating Christmas, and it's warm, March. And you got a tan, and it's hot, but it's...
It feels like Christmas in D.C.
It does,
right
in D.C.,
now.
Yes.
But, yeah, we just had the greatest time. We did a big tour to support that. And this was my first ever Christmas sort of collaborations project, mm-hmm. where I got a chance to do duets with sort of cast a wide net of the best singers that I thought, you know, would be fun to go into the studio and create new Christmas music, but classic recordings. You know, in other words, new versions of classic songs. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everybody except one person who said no, not because they didn't want to do it, but they were too busy. Everybody said yes, so we got a chance to...
Who said no? Let's call him out.
I knew you were going to ask that.
Let's get him on the phone.
It was Jennifer Hudson,
really?
Who I've known for a while, but she... Obviously, she's a huge star, mm-hmm. so she couldn't afford the time in the studio. Mm-hmm. But Gloria Estefan said yes. We mm-hmm. did a great version of Do You Hear What I Hear together. Johnny Mathis and I did a new version of the song that he made famous. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Kenny G and I did a duet. We've known each other for years. We've never played together like this before. Richard Marx and I wrote a song, and he sang. B.B. Winans, Stevie Wonder, maybe you've heard of him.
Yeah, a little bit.
India Ari,
wow.
and Trombone Shorty, and Fantasia. Mm-hmm. And so it was really just a great experience to be in the studio. And one thing I learned, too, it's amazing, and I feel that way as well, being a nice Jewish boy. There's something about Christmas music that brings out another side of someone's musicality mm-hmm. and creativity. And it was really beautiful to see that in the studio something about these melodies, they're more than just notes on a page or familiar songs. They're really touch points of our lives. Mm-hmm. When you hear those melodies, whether it's White Christmas or Do You Hear What I Hear, they remind you of those times in your past with family and friends and happy memories and sometimes not so happy memories. You know, it's Christmas music really does that.
Did you represent and put some Hanukkah songs on there too?
On this one, no. But no. I have to say that this was my fourth Christmas album.
Right.
And on every other one there was a mm-hmm. Hanukkah song.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've known you for quite a few years, and I've also known Kenny G, and I know you guys are tremendously talented and successful. You said he was on your last album. I have to ask, as guys who play the same instrument at the same time, any competitive nature between the two of you? Are you guys at all? Because there's always been the Dave Cause and the Kenny G factions.
Yeah, I would say that... And I've said this to him many times, and I've said this on camera and in the press, that if it wasn't for Kenny, I don't think that I would have a career. I mean, he was the first guy that really showed the world how popular an instrumentalist could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sold millions and millions of records mm-hmm. Around the world. So, and that was about, I would say, 3 or 4 years before I was even signed to Capitol Records in the late 80s. So mm-hmm. The explosion of him as an instrumentalist really helped pave the way for not just me, but a ton mm-hmm. of other instrumentalists. So I think we all have to tip our hat to him for paving the way. But we've been friends for a long time and really support. He's been very supportive of me as an artist and mm-hmm. as I have been with him. But we'll get together for lunch every once in a while and we'll talk and we'll compare notes and talk shop. But getting in the studio to play music together hadn't really happened until now. So that was really a nice meeting of the minds. Mm.
And the first time we met was in Asia. And I know that particularly instrumental music, very, very popular in Asia, in Hong mm-hmm. Kong, China. They love a great-sounding saxophone, and you've been playing yours for a number of years. I think 86 is when you decided to, you know, pursue saxophone with Bobby yep. Caldwell and whatnot. But, I mean, and they love your music there, and they love what you do. And I think 6 Grammy nominations and 4 number one chart hits, and you also millions of records sold. So, you know, we're not talking to small potatoes here. Dave Cause in our studios.
I'm not complaining. Today. Actually,
you're not complaining.
2015 marks my 25th anniversary of making music. My first album came out in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And that album, by the way, I was very proud of the music. And still to this day, very proud of the music that was on that album. Not proud of the record cover.
Mm-hmm.
The record, maybe you remember it.
I do.
It was really, really bad. You know, everybody's got bad pictures of themselves, right? You stuff them in a drawer and you never think about it. And nobody ever sees it. But if it's on an album cover, it never goes away. So, but I had this, I don't know. I mean, I guess everybody was wearing it at the time, but
right.
It was a full on mullet.
Yeah.
I mean, full on mullet. And, I can't possibly look at that cover.
From
anymore.
The back, you and Richard Marx couldn't tell the difference.
Exactly.
Who's who? Which one?
We were like, separated at birth or something. But that music, there's a few songs on there especially that still hold a lot of special significance for me. And I feel what you just said, too, is absolutely true. I have to pinch myself because I really didn't plan on any of this. I went to UCLA. I was a mass communications major, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to graduate and get a job somewhere. You
right.
Know,
some Work at VOA, hosting shows.
Exactly. Or maybe picking up phones.
That's
you know?
It.
I didn't know what was to come, and all of it has been such a nice, beautiful surprise.
Mm. Well, you're one of the nice guys in this business, and you know, as I say, I mean this with all sincerity, you're one of my favorite musicians to talk to listen to. You make great music. I'm going to use that as a lead-in to ask you to do something for us. If
love
you
to.
Wouldn't mind. I know you've got the sax, and we're going to talk about that wonderful, lovely instrument, which I guess is celebrating 100 and some odd years.
This is a con curve soprano,
mm-hmm.
and it's my baby. It was built in 1914, so last year it celebrated its 100th anniversary. I have not had it for 100 years, but I've had it for probably at least 20.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you ever saw a movie called The Red Violin. It traced mm-hmm. this violin back centuries. You know, it was hundreds of years old, and mm-hmm. it kind of showed you where the violin had gone through and how many people had played it and where they played it and who they played it for. And I often think about, well, who had this saxophone before me? And all the spit that has traveled through this instrument. But it's a beautiful horn, and it's hard to play. Most people play the we're talking about Kenny G, he plays mm-hmm. the straight soprano, much easier
right.
to play. These are much more difficult, but the sound is really special, I think.
All right. Dave Cause, in our studios, what are you going to play for us?
This is a song, as you mentioned, I'm on tour with Barry Manilow right now for the spring, and we're having a great time. And so I have 30 minutes on stage to do my thing, and I walk out on stage, and even though I've been around for a long time, these are people pretty much have never seen me. So my first thing that I say is, I know what you're thinking. Who are you and where's Barry? So 30 minutes, I've got to prove myself, and I do it with the best music out of my possible catalog to do it. And this is the first song that starts the show. It's called Together Again. Thank you.
Woo! Dave Cause! Woo! Getting down! Down with it!
You're a good audience of one, by the way.
Thank you. I'm into it.
Thank you.
I love your music. Always have.
Thank
I
you
love
so much.
What you do. Now, I know you decided you wanted to be in a band so you could kind of be with your brother, if I'm not mistaken. Now, why did you pick the sax?
Well, the saxophone sort of picked me as opposed to me picking that because my brother, older brother, his name is Jeff, and he had a band that was doing, when I was in elementary school, sixth graders, I think it was something like that. They had already started getting gigs doing bar mitzvahs and weddings and fraternity parties, and I just saw him and his friends go out and make money on the weekends, and make a lot of money and play music. And so I just wanted to be in that band so bad. So I was going into seventh grade, 13 years old, and I said, Jeff, I want to be in the band. And he looked at me and he goes, you're never getting in this band. Very big brotherly, you know. Don't even try it. So one day he let it slip that the only way that I could be in the band is if I picked up the saxophone because they did not have a saxophone player. So I heard that, went in this year, saxophone, boom. Seventh grade, beginning winds, Mrs. Brown's class, I picked up the sax. My dad rented a sax from the music shop for me, and this was the third instrument that I had played and failed miserably the first two, piano and drums. I was horrible at both. But the saxophone, truly, the first time that I picked it up, it felt very, very natural in my hands. Mm-hmm. And I just practiced my butt off, drove my brother crazy until he said okay.
Wow. And you have influenced so many saxophone players around the world. I'm sure people are playing the sax because of Dave Cause music. Because of the success and the albums you've put out.
I don't know about that, but it's nice to see that the saxophone is popular again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's ever been not popular, because mm-hmm. it's always been that instrument that people are fascinated by. There's something about it that as an artist, as someone who is a communicator, mm-hmm. the saxophone, if you didn't have a voice, like, for example, I'm not able really, I mean, can, but I... Nobody really wants to hear me sing. But if I can put whatever emotion that I'm feeling through the saxophone and it mirrors that, that's a great instrument. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we all have those days where we're not feeling so great or we're sad or we're feeling melancholy or whatever. And I can put that through the saxophone and it can be there. Mm-hmm. And people can hear it on the other end and feel what I'm feeling. And at the same time, I can totally go the other way and put this, like the song that I just played together again. It's really a very bubbly, happy song, and I can put that happiness through the horn and people can hear it. So I think that's why, for me, it's been a great instrument, a great match mm-hmm. in my life, because it's so able to mirror whatever emotions I'm feeling. And when I started out, I was a very mixed up kid at 13. I was really awkward and dealing with a lot of stuff in my life that I had no way to, I had nobody to talk to about, mm-hmm. and I didn't know who I was, and I was, you know, like a lot of young people trying to mm-hmm. figure out who mm-hmm. they are. I was dealing with some pretty serious stuff that just, if it weren't for the instrument, I don't mean to be dramatic about it, but I think in many ways it saved my life, because I could put all the stuff that I was feeling mm-hmm. into this most trusted friend, my best friend, you know, that would not judge and would just basically mirror what I was feeling and gave me that outlet. So I'm very grateful for the saxophone.
And it's a very diverse instrument in that, you know, you can hear it in rock songs, Clarence Clemens, Springsteen, yeah. and you can hear it in jazz. You can hear it just about in any setting, you know, in a band or on its own. It's a great instrument.
And people do love it because it sort of mirrors that human voice mm-hmm. aspect. There's something also very sensual and very sexy mm-hmm. about the saxophone that mm-hmm. That I've found as well. Although I don't embody that sexiness at all.
Oh, come on, Dave. I saw that photo of you on your website sitting at home chilling with your glasses at your desk.
Really?
Yeah, you're looking, you know, it's on your website, and you're looking quite comfortable.
Okay, comfortable maybe. Sexy, not.
Now, you said two things that I want to touch on. First yep. of all, you mentioned about you can sing, but you haven't. Any chance you might ever consider making an album with you actually?
I did songs.
Okay.
I've done songs. I sang, if you remember the song, This Guy's in Love with You, that, mm-hmm. that was popularized by Burt Bacharach.
Right.
Well, it was Burt Bacharach's song, but Herb Alpert did it
mm-hmm.
and had a big, huge hit with it. And, of course, he's a trumpet player, and that was a massive pop hit mm-hmm. Back in the day. And I did do a version of that for an album called Hello Tomorrow. And Herb, who I count as one of my mentors and mm-hmm. dear friends, he's been there for me in a lot of ways. And his career to me is like a career that I would love to model mine after, because mm-hmm. he made great records. He was a wonderful champion of other artists starting A&M Records. Mm-hmm. And he's an incredible philanthropist, and he does it very quietly behind the scenes. And he's an artist through and through. He's a painter and a sculptor and a wonderful musician and songwriter mm. and producer. And I just love everything that he stands for. Mm. So I was in the studio making this album, and Marcus Miller was the producer. And Marcus and John Burke from the record company said, what do you think about doing this song, This Guy's in Love with You, and you singing? And I thought, well, you know, I'm not a singer, really. You know, I can play the sax. I can do an instrumental version. So Marcus just said, well, why don't I just go in the studio and we'll spend a few hours, put down like a little rough vocal, and then we'll decide then. So I did that. So I listened to it, and I was kind of cringing a little bit. But Marcus and John said, no, it's really good. Mm. You know, it actually works to your benefit to not be this powerhouse singer, because right. the song is really about who hasn't been in this position where you like somebody and you mm-hmm. you want to tell them, but you're not sure what they're going to respond, how they're going to say yes. Sure. Or so it's kind of like this tentative
right.
vulnerability. That's what that song is about. I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this to Herb. If Herb says thumbs up, I'll put it on. And if Herb says, well, I want to stick to playing the sax, it's off. So I sent a MP3 email to Herb, and he answered me immediately. And he said, not only do I think that you should sing it, but if you save a place for me at the end of the song, I'd like to play on it. Wow. And that actually happened.
That's great.
And so I'll never forget that.
Cool story.
And so there, I sang that song. I sang another song on a Christmas album. Mm-hmm. When I do my Christmas shows, sometimes I'll sing a half of a song. Mm-hmm. I'm good at half of a song. Then I run out of breath.
And you've worked with Burt Bacharach, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've had a wonderful experience in my life getting a chance to collaborate with people that I would have, you know, on a piece of paper, you think, how would I ever get a chance to meet them, let alone make music with them?
Right.
And I'll tell you one quick story about Burt Bacharach. My mom, who's passed away now for almost 10 years.
Sorry.
My mom was a kind of closet songwriter and not such a great pianist, but she loved music and she would write and she worshipped Burt Bacharach. So Burt and I, through a series of wonderful opportunities, we were able to write a song together. And that was a pinch me moment, writing a song with Burt Bacharach.
Right.
And of course, in the session, the writing session, I wanted to ask him about every Burt Bacharach song that I've known and loved. And finally, he was kind of polite about answering the questions. And finally, he said, I'm not going to answer any of your questions about the past. Mm-hmm. All I want to talk about is new music, Dave Koz music. And I was like, that's why this guy is still at it in his 80s.
Right.
Because he doesn't look back. He's all about looking forward. So cut to the day that we're in the studio. My mom, she was a pharmacist, and she was working that day, and she couldn't get out of work. And I said, you have to come to the recording session. You have to meet him. Well, I'd never worked with him in the studio, and the guy is quick. And we had booked out the whole day, but we were done hours early. And I'm calling my mom. I said, Mom, we're done. I can't keep him here all day. It's Burt Bacharach, you know. She said, I've got to work. I mean, I've got another hour. I said, get out of there. And she worked at a hospital. She couldn't just leave.
Right, right.
So finally, and I'm trying every trick in the book to keep the guy there. You know, I'm like, do you play chess? And he was so sweet about it. But he, at a certain point, it was like 2 hours after the session had finished. And this is Burt Bacharach. And finally, my mom walked in at about 10 to 4, and he was still there. He was on his way out, and she got that picture with him. It was me and her idol and her, my mom, Audrey, and that was so proudly positioned in her home for till the day that she died. It was a very prized moment in her life to be able to be there to meet him.
I'm sure you have many stories because you've collaborated with so many people and different kinds of people. U2 and Celine Dion. And all the different kinds of artists that you've worked with.
It's been a true joy, I will say that. We're actually putting together for later this year a 25th anniversary sort of collaboration CD to going back into the archives. We're going to have a few new songs on there as well.
Great.
But looking back at some of those collaborations mm-hmm. that we haven't heard for a while, like the time that I made music with Luther Vandross was one of the great moments of my life. And I did a lot of work with Rod Stewart, so we're going to use one of those tracks. Stevie Nicks sang on one of my albums going back to the 90s, and that was an amazing moment. I go on and on. Stevie Wonder, B.B. Winans.
Amazing. Tons of stories, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's been a charmed life.
How about a book? Autobiography. Dave Cause story behind the scenes.
I don't know if there's – I feel like maybe one day, but I feel like the chapter that would be the most compelling, I haven't lived yet.
Okay. Fair enough.
This sort of the – intuitively, I feel like there's a big – something, I don't know what it is actually, but I feel like that's what keeps me going is the adventure that's yet to come.
Oh, I know there's so many things you've accomplished, and it's probably hard to pick a favorite. I mean, you've got the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and you're very much connected with the Starlight Foundation, which I'm sure is a very important part of your life, and we'll talk about that too. The Grammy nominations, the sold out shows around the world. I know you're still hoping for an ice sculpture. I got that.
You're up on your Facebook.
I'm following you. I'm stalking you, Dave.
That's funny.
But you know, is there anything that stands out as accomplishments go, as far as something you haven't done yet that you still hope to do?
Well, we just opened about 3 months ago a restaurant and music venue in Beverly Hills
called Spaghettini
and the Dave Cause Lounge.
You can tell I go there often. Spaghettini.
But it's right in the heart of Beverly Hills, and it is a... This is sort of like a story of my life. Spaghettini is an existing restaurant. It's been there for 26 years in Orange County. And the owners are great friends of mine. And we've done work together on our cruises. And we've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they came to me about 5 years ago and said, our dream is to open a Spaghettini in Beverly Hills. And when we do, not if we do, but when we do, we want you to be our partner. And I was like, of course, I would love to do that. Thinking, never in a million years is this going to happen. And they just stuck with it, and they stayed with it. And they actually did make it happen. It opened in December, and now there's this beautiful 140-seat restaurant. It's fine dining, and then after dinner, it turns into this world-class music club. And we've had, just in 3 months, we've had amazing performers and performances there, including Gerald Albright and Sir Tom Jones got up there and did an impromptu three-song set. We've had Christopher Cross. We've had Melissa Manchester. We've had a bunch of up-and-coming new jazz musicians.
It's the Dave Cause Lounge?
Yeah.
Great. So, can't wait to go.
Yeah, that's been very enjoyable. But I love it all. Of course, I still have a lot of dreams that haven't happened yet. And most of those revolve around traveling the world because I know that you and I relate on that level of being – very open to experiences. And I feel like whether I go as a musician to play shows or whether I just go as a tourist, there's no better for me, there's no better mirror to look at yourself than going to another culture. Mm-hmm. It's just as soon as you do, a mirror pops up in front of you and says, this is who you are. By embracing other cultures, other countries, other ways of life, other customs, that's how we find out about ourselves. And probably the most painful, also wonderful experience with that was when I turned 50. For whatever reason, I decided to go to India for a month. Now, I am as American as they come, and India pushed every single button that I thought possible existed inside of me. And I got over the hump and finally surrendered, and I had one of the most meaningful experiences of my life. So,
which was? Grateful.
Well, I just learned a lot. I needed to have that experience, whatever that experience was. And I needed to – I didn't even know, but on some level, something inside of me said, go there. And I did, and I really – it was tough. It was tough for 2 solid weeks, and then finally – there was this point where it was like, okay, yeah, all right, you win. And then I was able to really take in this wonderful country and its people. And that experience, not quite as intensely, but I've had that kind of experience all over the world. The first time I went to Africa and Europe and all over Asia. And But there's a lot of places that I've not been, and I'm excited to go.
Well, you mentioned that for your 50th birthday, you spent that month-long period in India. Your birthday's coming up in a few weeks. Where's your next trip?
My next trip,
well, you got to be on the road with Barry. So.
Yeah, I think my friend Bruce told me today that I'm going to be in Long Island.
Long
for my
Island.
Birthday. So for 50, I was in New Delhi, and now Long Island for this birthday.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Hey, we've been having a great time on this tour with Barry Manilow too, because Barry is a wonderful human being, mm-hmm. amazing musician. One of the best entertainers the world has ever known. I've learned a lot from just watching him, and he's been extremely generous in giving me this opportunity.
And they're calling it the farewell tour, or the last tour, or the last time. Is he done? Is he hanging up the sequin coat? Or
I cannot imagine. I just can't imagine him being done.
No, I mean,
I could maybe.
They
imagine
said it about Cher too, and you know.
It may be like this kind of touring where mm-hmm. it's arenas. In different cities. He may, as he's told me before, he said he may kind of set up shop in one place. Maybe he'll do a week at Radio City, or, you know, kind of go into one city in an area and just sort of do multiple nights there. Maybe that's what he'll do next. But I can't imagine, just knowing him, I can't imagine that he will turn off that performer's thing, because he's so good at it. You know, and people love it. I mean, every night, 10,000 plus people coming to see him do his thing.
Hmm. Well, people around the world love to see you do your thing. And with that, I'm going to ask if you do another song for us.
Yes. I would
they
love
can't,
it.
You know, some can see you, some can't. They're listening to us on the radio. Some are watching the TV show. But nonetheless, it sounds great.
This is from the At the Movies album, which I did in 2007. It was produced by one of the great Pinch Me producers. Sadly, he passed away a few years ago. Phil Ramone produced this album. And Phil's a wonderful, great friend, and he sunk his heart and soul into this album. And this is my version of the classic, when you talk about saxophone recordings, The Pink Panther, written by Henry Mancini, stands probably at the top of greatest sax songs ever. So I had to do it, had to include it in the At the Movies album. So this is my tribute to Henry Mancini, The Pink Panther.
Dave Cause. Dave Cause. Dave Cause. Superstar Dave Cause right here on Border Crossings on The Voice of America.
I like the hallway audience.
We got a hallway audience. They keep moving. The crowd just keeps moving. keeps on going by. So Dave Cause is in our studios, and you mentioned about the future. And what are the plans for the future? What are you going to promote next? Because the Christmas album has already been out and done its thing for Christmas. So what's coming up next?
The next will be in the summertime, a 25th anniversary retrospective, mm-hmm. which will have collaborations with some of the people that I've made music with, and three new songs as well. One song that I'm doing with my touring partners, we'll be out touring this summer. A guy by the name of Rick Braun and I are going to be out there, and also joined by a great vocalist, an R&B vocalist by the name of Kenny Lattimore. So the three of us will be out doing a summer tour. Very excited about that. And that comes at the end of the Barry Manilow tour. Mm-hmm. Barry Manilow ends right now in mid-June, and that starts the beginning of July. Mm. So, and we'll have a companion CD. And the three of us are actually doing a new version. We're in the studio right now, believe it or not, doing a new version of Higher and Higher. And it's coming out great. So we'll have some new collaborations and probably at least 10 or so songs, collaborations from the past.
Do you realize, I'm sure you do, because you're on the Grammy Foundation Committee, but do you realize that you're now eligible for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
What do you mean? Come on.
25 years.
Really?
You've had the number ones and the 25 years. You got it both.
I just don't see it happening anytime soon, but
I'll nominate you.
Thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate that. And I'll nominate you.
Well, thank you.
You've been doing it 25 years, too.
I've been playing them, but I don't have any. But so you mentioned earlier in the show that you were going through a difficult time at 13, 14. Can you tell us anything? Can you elaborate?
Yeah, well, I'm gay, and so at the time, this was going back to, let's see, what was 1976. Mm-hmm. So nowadays, you've got all these resources, all these outlets for mm-hmm. young people who are growing up, whether they're whatever, LGBTQ, or anything.
Acronyms,
you know, it doesn't even, I'm talking about that, but it can be anything. There's people that feel different, that are, for whatever reason, they're not as we see most everybody else. And that's been happening since the dawn of time. So in that particular case, for me, that was what I was dealing with. But at the time, there just wasn't anything to look at, or anything, nobody on television, nobody in the movies. It was very, very kind of, I felt very alone. And now it's such a great thing to be able to see, for young kids, so many amazing role models on television, in the movies, wherever you look, in music too. I mean, when I came out, when I was 40, so that's a little over 10 years ago. Even then, I was one of the first male artists to come out. There was just a handful. And now that's really, that door has been flung open.
Right.
And to see marriage equality in this country become so embraced by all, you know, so many states now, and pretty soon I would venture to guess that that's going to be a federal marriage equality coming up very, very soon too. So it's just a beautiful thing to witness now on this side of it. Mm-hmm. But back then, and believe me, I had it better than the generation before me. Mm-hmm. So, but that's why I talk about music being so important, because for me, it was my one savior, because I was dealing with stuff that I had no way to, I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't talk to my family. I didn't have any friends that I could talk to about it. And there was just no outlet. And so the saxophone became my outlet.
Were you bullied? Did you experience that at all?
No.
No problem?
I kind of, if anything, my MO was to just sort of blend in and not stick out too much. And that's the great irony of my career, in that I'm so comfortable being just kind of in the background and not sticking out. That's who I really am.
Right.
And yet in my career,
you can't be in the background.
I can't.
No. You're in the foreground at all times.
And, you know, I'm happy about that, too.
Well, you're a great voice and a great representative for everybody. Equality in all, you know, corners of the world, for that matter, because you are a guy carrying a message around the world. So,
listen, you know, this is the universal message of tackling your fears, whatever it is that you're afraid of. Because I was so afraid of coming out and showing the world who I am. And I had built this huge wall for years, this impenetrable wall that I said, there's no possible way that I could ever climb over that. And then one day it just was, I'm going to do it. I don't know what it was inside of me that said, I got to do it. I guess I wasn't comfortable with just not playing with a full deck of cards anymore. And I did do it, and I got on the other side of the wall, and I looked back, and I realized there was no wall. So whatever it is that you're fighting against, that you're afraid of, whatever it is, get on the other side of the wall and realize that there is nothing holding you back. Mm. That was the best lesson I ever learned in my life, and has nothing to do with being gay or being different. It's just about facing fears. Hmm.
So what a pleasure you are, an inspiration, role model for all people all around the world. And I know you're on tour and you're very busy, and I don't want to take up all your time, but you have so many things going on. You're hosting your own radio show. You've got your own wine now. You know you've arrived when you have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and your own wine.
The wine raises money for the Starlight Children's Foundation, which is, as you mentioned earlier, a charity that I work with for a long time.
And what do they do for the benefit of the international audience?
They help kids. It's an international organization. They help kids that are in the hospital for long periods of time. So if it's a young cancer or leukemia victim or burn victim, you know, these kids their lives are turned upside down, and their families' lives are turned upside down. And Starlight they have a variety of different programs to come in and give a little sense of normalcy to these children's lives. So if they can't get out of bed, this apparatus comes and wheels up to their bed that connects them with the outside world, games, DVDs, videos, the whole thing, connects them with other patients around kids around the world who are experiencing the same thing. If they can get out of bed, there are Starlight rooms where you can go disappear into the separate room in a hospital where it's like there's no trace of it being a hospital. So the kids can have a chance to forget for a moment about what they're dealing with and be a kid again. And then they do things where if a child can get out of the hospital, they do special escape days where whether it's Disneyland or to the park, whatever that Starlight hosts for them and their families. So I've just seen it firsthand, the work that they do. It's pretty amazing for kids and families in need. And so a few years ago, we started making wine, and the sale of the wine helps. It goes directly to Starlight, and I had to come up with a tagline, so I like to say, drink for the kids. And
not with the kids.
Don't drink with the kids.
Don't drink with the kids.
But for the kids.
And make sure the kids aren't on the car.
But we've over the years, we've raised including the stuff that we do on our cruise. Every year we do a cruise. We hold a silent auction for Starlight. And so between the cruises and the wine that we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Starlight.
God bless you.
So
God bless you. That's great. And I know there's a link to the Starlight Foundation on your website. So if people want to find out more or contribute, they can go to your website.
Yep, davecause.com.
And do that. And so ask you to do another song for us.
Absolutely.
And
I'm going to take the alto for this one.
All right. Then we'll chat a little bit more, then I'll let you go to Barry.
Okay, now I told you I was going to do this song. Did I tell you I was going to?
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't tell you
but
I was
that's there. All right.
I was telling Eric about this, he's got two
kids,
two girls, I think. He was talking about it. This was inspired by my nieces. I have four nieces who I love very much. And each one of them came to me over the last year, a little over a year, and said, Uncle Dave, we really like your music, but why haven't you recorded our favorite song? And I was like, well, what song is that? And they said, you know, the one from Frozen. And it's only like the biggest song on the planet. And I was like, I don't know if I could do that. But then I said, just to get them off my back, I'll just experiment with it. And I fell in love with this melody, and I understand now, getting inside of this song, why this song is so popular around the world. I mean, of course, you don't get the lyrics with the instrumental version, but the feeling of the song, I think, is captured, and it's a beautiful, beautiful melody to play on the alto. So here is Let It Go.
All right. Dave Cause on The Voice of America.
Thank you.
celebration. They're standing around the world. That was great. That was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's there's something about that song. I can understand why it's so popular.
Wow.
It's a very, very good, it's a very well written song and an amazing melody.
Well, when you can take a song that's known for its lyrics and make it jump like you did without lyrics, that's amazing.
Cool, man. I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah, well, I like everything you do, Dave, to be honest. Dave Cause. I mean, you are an inspiration and an icon in the music industry, and you're loved around the world for that very reason.
That's very sweet. You made me really happy today.
Well, good. Good. You. I'm glad you're happy.
Thank you very much.
And your music makes a lot of people happy. So keep on making music, and you'll keep on making people happy.
I shall do it. I love it. You know, honestly, this is what I feel very much in the right lane and enjoying what I can do, and also having these wonderful opportunities to continue to do what I mean. Honestly, after 25 years, if it all ended tomorrow, I'd say nothing I could say other than thank you. So if it continues to go on, I'll be even extra grateful.
Well, we hope you'll come back and see us when you do put out the new project later
on
in the year.
For sure.
Come back and see us when you're in D.C. And congratulations on all the wonderful success.
Thank you very much.
May it continue on and on and on into the future. Dave Cause, thank you.
Much appreciated.
For being
on
Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America. My name is Larry London.
Larry London. This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band about that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Right to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon bone a retirement. I'm too hot. Trick, say my name. Hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck, said and flown it. If you freak dead and own it, don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck, said and flown it.
just why. Hey, hey.
Uptown Funk, it's Border Crossings and Bruno Mars with Mark Ronson. And I want to thank Dave Cause for coming on the show. What a great guest and what a talented musician. What a nice person. All around, nice guy. And he was opening for Barry Manilow last night, the big show in D.C., which was sold out. So it was a great concert, and it was wonderful to have Dave Cause with us here on Border Crossings. It's wonderful to have you here with us as well. I want to say hello to Augustino and Safwan and Al-Haji Ahmed Adamovic, who wrote in and said, love the conversation. Who are you talking to? Dave Cause is the answer to that question. And Ria's tuned in, and Saidu Muhammad Ali, Abiyat, Edom, and many others who tune into us as well every day. Jahangir, Sanvula, Moses, thank you all for joining us on Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. This next song, my request, perfect for the weather today here in Washington, D.C., Dean Martin.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Dean Martin, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, which is exactly what it's doing right now in D.C. Once again, we just can't shake winter. You know, spring is around the corner, but we just can't get rid of the snow. Hopefully it'll stop snowing and we can enjoy some sunshine soon. Today, no giveaway, but tomorrow we'll do it twice. We'll do two giveaways twice tomorrow for T-shirts and the Sound of Music soundtracks on the show tomorrow, depending on how much snow we get. If I get a lot of snow and I can't get into work tomorrow, then we'll have to delay it till Monday. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. Keep our snow boots crossed and hope that everything goes well tomorrow. So thank you very much for listening. And again, thank you to Dave Cause, a wonderful, talented guy. Appreciate you joining us as always and hope to see you again. Thanks to Wagner, our engineer, and to Felicia, our extraordinary director producer. I'm Larry London. Have a great evening. And don't forget to tune in to Border Crossings tomorrow at 1500 Universal right here on the VOA1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.